to Beyond the Ring, a podcast that covers all things in the stock show industry from the informative to the insane, starring Ryan Rash.
Reality is something you rise above.
And Dale Hummel.
Think for yourself and embrace the logical path to success.
Now on with the show.
Welcome to Beyond the Ring. This is Ryan Rash once again. Hello, hello, hello. And Dale Hummel is still on some African safari death trip. And be honest, I don't know if he's going to make it back or not. I have not heard much from the man. The two videos that I got was an angry hippopotamus that looked very close and then a charging elephant. So, you know, the state of his health, well-being, I don't know. But supposedly, he's supposed to come back sometime this week. So once again, you will have probably the second shortest current events in the history of this podcast. As far as world news, Putin just did the largest missile strike, I think, ever, is what they're saying, in the war with Ukraine, after he had had several talks with Trump, and it seemed like maybe we were going to see this coming to an end. Looks not so much, so I don't know what the outcome of that's going to be, but it does not bode well. Also, Jake Tapper and another, an Axios reporter, I can't remember the guy's name. Anyway, they have released a book. And, oh wait, Alex Thompson, sorry. Yes, an Axios reporter, Alex Thompson, released a book, Original Sin, President Biden's Decline, Its Cover-Up, and His Disastrous Choice to Run Again. And so this has got released, I think, last Tuesday, and it's all about how the press and the administration covered up all of the problems in Joe Biden's health, mental and physical. And so this has got everybody stirred up to a great detail, which, I mean, we all kind of knew it, saw it. So I don't know why we're still addressing it. It happened. I don't know why they felt that they needed to bring a book out about it, I guess to make money, but they kind of look real dumb because they were all active key players in it. The press was, but they're blaming it all on a group of people in the administration, basically accusing that he wasn't there and they made all these decisions for President Biden. I don't know if that's right. I don't know if that's true. But that is what is going on with all of that right now. So it's very, very interesting that that is staying in the forefront of the press, in my opinion. Also, I don't know if any of you are following the Diddy trial. I'm going to say that I really wish this would have been televised like OJ. I think they would have got a lot more people watching. So there is no cameras or anything like this, but there are reports. And so I'm not going to go into the real dark details of it, but I did find it very interesting that the latest thing that has come out of this is that one of his assistants, David James, testified that Diddy carried like 25 to 30 undisclosed pill bottles. And he listed all the different types of drugs and stuff like that. But he also said, and this is what I think is interesting, that one of the pills were in the shape of a former president's face. And that face is President Barack Obama. Who gets drugs made up in the face of anyone? Space, much less the former presidents, but I thought that was quite interesting for sure. Also, in international news, the French president was getting off his plane, and his wife, like, he's standing in kind of the doorway, and his wife, like, takes her hands, both of his hands, to his face and shoves him And he turns around and sees the cameras and he just stops and smiles and waves. And so that's a big scandal. Now he's saying that they were just play fighting, whatever, dude. If you watch the video, you can tell that clearly this lady was not playing. And then the only other bit of news that I have is Trump's one big beautiful bill has passed Congress. And so now it is moved to the Senate for them to try to pass it. And if they do, then of course he will sign it. And I'm sure they'll have to make changes to it in the Senate, they're saying, but it's looking like this might actually happen. And again, there's a lot of things in this bill, but the highlights are that it'll be the greatest tax reduction in American history. No tax on tips, no tax on overtime. So hopefully this will go through. Senate Leader Thune has put forth a date as July 4th as he wants it to be passed through the Senate by. So will be very interesting. Next week, Dale will maybe be back. I'm not sure, maybe. And if he is, I'm sure current events will take an hour and a half because he will have to tell you all of his wonderful tales of his African safari and all the things, and then give you his opinion on everything that has happened while he has been abroad. So I don't know what to tell you. Rest up for next week. But as last week, we were pre-recorded a topic and question and answer. So now we will send you to our regularly scheduled podcast programming.
Once again, a big thank you to ShowFresh H2O. This is the only product out there that completely eliminates chlorine from drinking water, keeping your animals hydrated and ready to hit the show ring. If you want to feel better about your purchase, this product is made right here in America by good people. You can pre-order ShowFresh H2O at your local farm store, your favorite show supply trailer, or head over to SwampFox.com. Ryan, time for the main topic. Time. How much is too much is what we'll title this. How much is too much? Brian, you've been wanting to do something like this.
Exactly. I've been wanting to do this topic for a while. And then out of clear blue sky last night at like midnight when you're leaving for Africa, you're like, oh, we'll do this. I'm like, okay, fine. It's whatever.
You have been mentioning this. So I think it's there's no question. This is the biggest. I can use my family as an example. Ryan can use himself as an example, or the kids he works with, or all the families we work with. There are a lot of decisions that need to be made for Stock Show kids regarding what direction does their time go. Ryan, you pretty much played four different sports involved in theater.
I did not do, when we say I played sports, I didn't play four. First of all, I like rode the golf cart on the golf team. I did actually play tennis, but that was the tennis in Texas was all after major shows.
I was unaware of your tennis.
No, I did play tennis. I don't know if it's a passion, but I did play tennis.
Did your mother make you do it?
No. No. I did do one act play, but again, all of these things that I did.
You did one act play. What does that mean? I don't know. I don't know that language.
That's what, when you have a cast, you put on a play. Like,
got it.
Yeah.
And your character was?
I was in it 4 years. I was lots of different characters. We did four plays. I mean, you what in Texas, I don't know, you may call it something, but we call it one act play. And that school puts on a play and however many characters there are and whatever, and you go compete just like anything else. But I did that. Yeah. But yes, but the whole thing is all of this was after major shows were done, and never, not once, whether it was a practice or anything else, did I ever put any of this bullshit before livestock shows. Nothing.
And you know, and I think this is a little bit unique to Texas because you have the five major shows and a few other large shows in that time frame. What, we're at the end of January, basically, through mid-March?
Well, I mean, we have our state fair in October, and then from January to the end of March is all the other major shows, you know, Fort Worth, San Antonio, San Angelo, Austin, Houston. A lot of people go to Congress now, and Denver's in that too. So, I mean, of course, Congress wasn't around when I was showing, but did all of those. But so, like I said, all these other things that I did, they were after the, you know, end of March, and never, not once, I mean, did it even enter my mind that we would put something before the show cows? No, did, or the show sheep or any of it. None.
And I think that's where a lot of families are. And I'm going to use Katie. She's a senior graduating here in a couple of days. We as parents put a little bit of restrictions on her, saying she wanted to play basketball. She wants to play volleyball. She wants to be involved in quite a few different things. And yet she wants to show, and she wants to show competitive. And she does put that first. But when she's playing basketball or volleyball and she takes off, misses a practice, misses a game to show or whatever she needs to do relative to her project, which would happen, she's sitting on the bench for whatever penalty that coach may assess her for not making that one practice because she was gone somewhere.
And that is why my opinion on all of this will not be popular. Because that is every school, that is every sport, that is every everything. It doesn't matter how talented you are at it. If you go to a stock show and miss, you know, two practices, then the next game you're going to be, you know, on the bench, all this other bullshit, whatever. That's why I say do not do it. Just do not.
And you're right. I think in basketball this year, she's second player all conference. But if she missed a practice, her ass was on the bench.
Right. And so that does not work for me. And I have said, when we have addressed other topics on this podcast before, that, you know, we go into this and there is always going to be someone who is going to commit more time, more resources, more something than you are to this.
And I think it keeps ramping up. It gets more, and there's no question, it gets more competitive every year. And to be able to be competitive at a Texas major or a national show level, unless you've got a lot of help, you're going to have a difficult time doing anything but stock showing.
Right. And that's the thing. If this is what, I mean, and I say the same, I have told many a parent, you know what? Your boy's a tremendous football player. And he just kind of does this show thing because, you know, daddy did it or whatever, all this other stuff. He doesn't have to do this. Don't waste my time. Don't waste his time. Don't waste your time. Like, do what they are the best at. I think that is the trick and what they like the best. I personally think the biggest problem is the majority of the families that bring this up to me or talk to me, they all love livestock showing the most. The kids, the parents, all this other stuff. But they have this FOMO, fear of missing out on something else. And daddy wants to go watch his little boy on, you know, the football field at Friday night so he can get his testosterone rush or some bullshit. And so, you know, they do all this other stuff too. It doesn't work that way.
You're not allowed to talk about testosterone. That is off the charts for you.
There is somebody that is going to put more time in it than you already. So if you are not giving every single ounce of time that you can, it's you're already, you know, set back some. And so I've had this conversation. I'm not trying to be rude to listeners or anybody that, because I have had this conversation. I can't even tell you how many times. But it is just my firm belief. And if you will look and look and look at the people that are consistently rock star level successful in the stock show industry, I'm not saying that they don't do something else, but this is what takes precedence every single time. Maybe little Johnny does play baseball, but maybe it was something like this. He goes to shows and misses practice, so he sits in the dugout. But those ones that are rock stars at this, I assure you, I know those people. I know those families. And guess what? this always takes precedence over everything. And not just from the kid, from the entire group of people, whether parents, people that they're hired, all these other grandpas, whatever, the whole bunch of them, this is what is number one.
Absolutely. And I see it. And we chose with Katie, and I'm going to continue to go back to that as an example, just because I feel comfortable talking about it. We limited her to two sports, and that would have been volleyball and basketball. And obviously they overlapped when we're showing nationally pretty much year round. There's issues. No question. Can she succeed at volleyball, basketball, and showing? Yes. But there's so many challenges that come into play. And I'm going to use right now as an example, she's just finishing up. And when she's letting steers out at 9, 10 o'clock at night and back in at 5 or 6 in the morning, put chores and our kids are expected to work on the farm with our goat operation, not
it's
just with
slave
the
labor.
It's called good work ethic. But she's in charge of basically all of the weaned goats.
They do have child labor laws.
What I call sale barn chores morning and night. In addition to her show animals, in addition to practice and school and other things. And there's a lot and she's dragging ass more times than not because of it. But those are her choices. And she does value her time playing basketball. She loves it. She loves showing livestock. If she had to choose between them, it's always going to be the livestock or the stock show side. But it's hard. And I can use an example on a family in Texas that I know. Young man, excellent high school football player, excellent basketball player. After a football game, maybe they take a red-eye flight as soon as he gets off the field to get to Kansas City the next morning or Louisville because he's showing at 8 a.m. I mean, there's a lot that goes into trying to juggle and do those things. And as Ryan said, it gets down to the point where you almost, if you want to be one of the absolute best, you almost have to make that decision that, hey, this is what I'm going to do. If you aren't, you're going to go to drastic measures to make sure they get to those shows. Everything's getting done right at home. It's that balance is so, so difficult. I'm a believer. Can I step in and help in terms of with her show animals or reduce some of the chores she's doing with our goat operation? I can, but I'm hesitant to do some of that because I think that's what makes them that much better when they're the ones doing the work. And they're actually, in our case, not just working with the show animals, but also on the real world or the practical side. I think it all contributes. So it's so hard. So, so difficult. You put in there some other things that maybe a family vacation. Most stock show families, Ryan, what are their vacations?
Going to shows.
Going to the stock show. And we were able to get away and do some vacations. As this drops, I'm in Africa with Chase right now. And Katie was invited to go with us, but she chose to stay home because she's got two steers on
feed. She doesn't want to die.
No, she would love to go, but she's not going to, she can't walk away from those two calves. Could our manager, Craig, cover and still do everything he's expected to do? Probably, but that's putting a lot on his plate and that's just not the way she's geared. She's gonna sacrifice a vacation or anything else right now. From now until State Fair in early August, she's not leaving. And speaking of that, the one thing we didn't bring into this either, a lot of her friends will say, hey, let's go hang out and do this, or let's go watch a boys basketball game or whatever that is. And guess what? Those things aren't happening. And would it be nice if you could do all of it? Sure. But it just doesn't work. That the level of competitiveness is so great if you're trying to compete on the national level that it has to be basically what Ryan's talking about, a full-blown commitment. And I think there's maybe not. Ryan, would you say there's more kids now going at it at the top level as there ever has been?
I guess depends on how you emphasize that. I think that there are, as a whole, it is more competitive. I think where, you talk about Katie because you're familiar with it. I talk about Texas majors, where I don't think 10, 15 years ago it was as difficult. Like, if you played this game pretty hard and put in, you know, a decent amount of effort into it, then making the sale wasn't that hard to do. Now I think making the sale at a Texas major show is even more competitive and more challenging than it's ever been before. If that makes any sense.
It does. I've only been involved at every Texas major for the most part the last 15 years. And I've been to them prior to that, but actually paying attention. And I can assure you, and I get to see primarily the goat and lamb ring, but in the goat and lamb ring 15 years ago, you could go at it mid speed and make a sales right. slot.
Yeah, that ain't going to happen. Now it's not. Right.
I mean, you could get dumbass lucky and maybe.
Right. So that part, I do think is more competitive. It's harder. I think for the most part, those ones that are just literally trying to win every single show, but I think that number of families is the same. You see what I'm saying? And they're different families.
I would agree with that.
I don't think there is a any less or any more that are at that just, I want to win every single show that I walk into regardless. I think that number has stayed the same.
I can remember when you were showing and I thought you were a bit of an anomaly, but the more I think about it, it may have been the total package, your odd ass presence and the way you just in general. I think you stood out more than most. Can we agree on that? That is why maybe I was looking at it. Wow, he's the only one going this hard at it. And I don't know that anybody else went that hard, but there are others that were damn sure trying to be. They were working hard at it.
I mean, Hilton Wise's son, Madden, obviously had a tremendous sheep and goat career and ended.
Maybe the best year I've ever seen of any.
Right. But Hilton was 2 years older than me, and they went that hard when he was showing in steers and sheep. And so I think part of what you're saying is, yeah, it was probably just the whole of me, the presence and everything else. And so he was there at it doing everything he could in steers and sheep. And like I said, he was only a couple years older than me. And so, yeah, there were kids out there, but I think from your standpoint, you're probably like, what the hell is that out there? And so,
yes.
And also, I mean, we were a lot. I mean, we made no bones about, everybody knew the amount of money that we spent and what we were doing and who we had hired and everything else. So it was very open and public and transparent. So, you know, that was part of it. But I think that number of families that literally want to win every single show, I don't think that number has grown or lessened. I do think it is insanely more competitive to just try to get a sale hole in the last 15 years. I think that has changed drastically. And there's this, I don't know even what the word myth, I guess, is, that you can do it all. And everybody wants them to do that. And so then, you know, we've got the cheerleader and the basketball girl and all this other stuff. And then she also wants to, you know, win every stock show she goes to and all this. So what happens? As parents, you people want to see that work for her. So when she's off at cheerleading practice in a basketball game and all this other stuff, then mom and dad or maybe some other people that they've hired are picking up the slack in the barn. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But the biggest complaint that I hear at every stock show, regardless of what level it is, well, their parents do everything for them, or she doesn't do it as much as whatever, and all this other stuff. So how does it work? But because you want your kid to do as much as they can, somebody's got to step in and help. Not saying that that child doesn't work, isn't active when they're there. So we all bitch about you. I know, Dale, you've heard more than you count someone say, well, that kid doesn't do all his own work, or nobody works harder than my kid. That's the other one.
All the time.
Okay. I lived in the barn because that's all I did. I mean, literally, My parents would call at 10:30 and 11 at night screaming for me to come home. I was out there every morning before school, lived in the barn, and yet everybody talked the most shit about me anyway. So it's hard to do this and be as competitive as you want to be with there out being bullshit talking and stuff like that. So you've got to make the decision. And I think this is a bigger problem than anything else. And I think it's those families that are literally kicking everybody's ass to make that decision, that they're going to do it and they're going to make this the precedent. And this is the most important. And everybody's on board with that. And they give zero you know what anybody thinks about them. Agreed. And I think that making that commitment of not caring what anybody says about you is just as hard and just as big a decision as making the commitment to this being the thing that we're going to put the most time to, the most effort, whatever. Because most of you people want to be liked for some reason. I do not understand that. But y'all want to be liked, and you want Susie to be liked. It does not happen that way.
I get it. I'm going to come in with just another direction, but I agree exactly with what you're talking about, and I see it on a daily basis. We have had some help here in Illinois with the Illinois legislation. I don't know how it happened. I'm very thankful for it. And it was bipartisan, which has to be here in Illinois because the Republicans can't pass anything because of numbers. But a couple of years ago, legislation went through that allowed any activity 4-H or FFA related to be an excused absence here in the state. And even though I had to explain this to our school several times, that this is how it is. There's no, you cannot hold this against the child for being gone when they're at a 4-H or FFA activity, such as a show, especially if it's tied to their FFA proficiency books or whatever it may be. And not all schools obviously liked it or are on board with it. And we were able to get that excused absence out of the classroom, but it still sat on the bench from the sports and activity standpoint. But I think in Texas, and depending on the school you're at and other places across the country, those schools that understand the value in what we're doing and are willing to work with those kids, all of a sudden it becomes easier. So even if they're not in any other activities, they're only stock show kids. In Texas, there's a couple months they're going to miss a lot of class, and it's going to be hard. If those teachers aren't working with them and are pushing them away because they're not at school, it can be very, very challenging. Even here where we don't have the Texas majors, prior to this legislation going through, it was almost impossible to get my kids out of school to go to a national show. They were allowed 3 days. And after that, they were penalized really, really, really hard for missing school. And it affected them from a grade point standpoint, an academic standpoint, across the board.
I can tell you how to fix that.
How was that? Homeschool.
No, your mother is school board president, and you yourself, the child, take attendance.
There you go. And what you
I
say
literally about- kept the attendance books at my high school. I'm not kidding you, people. Like, I have witnesses.
So I see it more now. You used to see it, I really enjoy the motocross and the supercross world of things. And my oldest son loved riding, and when he was riding as a fairly young kid, most of the competitive kids were homeschooled for that those events. Or not,
I will
events.
Tell you, and just because Addie's been back at this 2 years, you know, I took a break, and so Addie's been doing this 2 years. I am absolutely a little taken aback by the number of kids in, like I said, in Texas that are homeschooled because they show.
Yes, I think that's in the last 5 years, Ryan. I've seen it grow exponentially across the country.
And like I said, I mean, and most times this will come up in a conversation. I'm like, you're what? They're like, yeah, we homeschool. I'm like, you do what? I mean, and I'm telling you,
I think it is
closer to being the norm than the abnormal.
Yeah. In our society. Those families that are wanting to be very competitive.
Right.
They
and those
they
are the ones
not,
that are adults.
Yeah. Yeah. They were not, the schools just weren't working with them at all. I think, I'm not saying they wanted to homeschool, just to homeschool, but they had no choice.
Right. And I mean, they like it, whatever. And I don't know if it's a parent homeschooling them or they have a tutor or what, but
it's advanced to the point now where almost everything can be online for assistance on those parents or if a tutor comes in. It's gotten much, much easier. The resources are available out there. And to me, and this is gonna not be good. I taught for many years, so I can throw darts at this.
So okay, hold on 1 second. A lot of these people that are homeschooling, they're parents were public educators or the whatever, you know, all this other.
Yes.
That's what makes it even like more. I'm like, huh? I mean, like, yeah. So,
and guess what? I'm going to take perspective in the field I taught in was animal science and very hands-on practical side of things from genetics to feeds to just basic animal science that I think would be of value to the kids that are staying in the livestock industry. But for us to give kids, and especially we're talking about junior high school kids in a public school system or private school system, to give them the information they need to succeed in the real world and sort down to that, traditional education methods simply are not accomplishing such. And then when we got into the woke era and the bullshit that we're having to deal with through that, right now, thank God Katie's graduating because I am about had it with one of the English teachers and the crap that they're trying to get Katie to write about. It's insane. And they're not gaining what I call practical knowledge, not just in general. And I'm not picking on every teacher out there. There's some that are changing kids' lives. My ag teacher changed my life. And there are those teachers out there. But in general, if we look at the big picture, we are not giving these children the tools they need to succeed in life. We're actually, as a country, considering our status in terms of a developed nation, we're way, way behind most other developed nations in terms of preparing our children for the real world. And that's sad, where I think the experiences they're getting traveling across the country or going to stock shows, some things that they're getting from that probably are teaching them more than what they can get sitting in the classroom. And it just is what it is. And I think, Ryan, those public educators or former public educators, even like myself, because we've seen both sides of it, it's easy for me to say, hey, you're missing school because you're going to get more from this than what you would have got sitting in my classroom. And here we go. We're heading out. And I'm not trying to take away from teachers at all. They're some of the most dedicated, best people out there. There's some of them that are terrible. But we have some that are amazing and they truly change kids' lives, not by teaching them who won the war in 1912 or whatever, but just getting them motivated about life and getting them to be passionate about something. And I love that. And I wish that some of those homeschool kids could experience some of those teachers that are like that. But right now, today, if a family were to come to me and I was to lay out an ideal outline or protocol, how their children are going to succeed as stock show kids and hopefully in the game of life, homeschool's pretty high on my priority list, Ryan.
Yeah. Like I said, it has been such an eye opener to me. And, you know, I think that just like everything else, stigmas and, you know, stereotypes will change or whatever. But like when you typically think of a homeschool child, you don't think of someone that's well-adjusted or, you know, all these other things and whatever, but like these kids are, and
that stereotype is changing.
Right. And so, but I mean, like when you just hear that for the first time, you're like, holy shit. I'm telling you, I think if it keeps progressing at this point, and I think it's everything. I think, you know, talking about how much time is too time. How much is too much? I don't think these parents have any regrets whatsoever on choosing to homeschool their kids. I think they think their kids are better for it. Probably, and a lot of them think they're better educated. And so I think this will just continue to grow. And maybe, you know, I'm sitting here talking about the people that will put the most effort and make this the priority and all this other stuff. So when you chose to homeschool your child, guess what? Sports aren't an option because you're not in a school. I mean, you can go
some places they try to make it an option, but
you can go I'm just saying typical UIL high school, junior high sports are no longer an option because you're not in a school. Now, I mean, you can do the baseball and all those other things, you know, the mini professional type sports that where you pay to be on one of those teams that goes everywhere, all that other stuff that can still happen. But that would, if that doesn't sum up a level of commitment for you right there on how much is too much, it's pretty obvious to me.
So I think the reason we're seeing more of the homeschool, multifaceted, that the resources are out there. It seems to be easier to access those resources. They are making some changes depending on the school district you're in, that maybe you can still play a sport or you can still be an FFA. And depending on the individual school district, they're making exceptions for that. It's becoming more mainstream each year. And I'm with you, Ryan, the number of families that we sell to and work with that are homeschooled now compared to even 10 years ago is substantially larger. 10 years ago, I thought it was pretty odd if I had a stock show family and their kids were homeschooled. Now they tell me they're homeschooled. I just smile because guess what? Just what you're talking about. That's a priority. They've decided to go down that path. And there are still some schools out there that will work with these stock show kids in a public school, and they can, and I see more of them in Texas than I do anywhere else, that they can do it all. And it's possible, but it's hard. So Ryan, there's one more thing that we haven't brought in. We're talking about time. And you can be a good example of this right now. Katie has show goats on feed and she's got two show steers. How many species are too much?
I'm glad that you brought this up because I was going to bring it up. So I did everything. And granted, cattle were the primary force, but I still did everything. I think, and I was just talking, so we were down there watching the hog show at Houston. And everybody knows that I just freaking love hogs. And so anyway.
Coonies now, by the way, is what you're kind of right, getting towards.
But one of the guys was like, well, I was standing there with Brant, and one of the guys was like, so when is Addy going to get a hog? He's like, I wanted one 2 years ago. I was like, he's going to lose this battle eventually. But, you know, we were talking, and this guy was talking too. His kid had tried to do hogs and steers or hogs and sheep and whatever. He's like, there's just almost no way to do it correctly and do more than one species. And Brant was saying that, you know, since Addy does steers and heifers, that we're, I mean, because you go in 1 week for steers and 1 week for heifers and all this other stuff. He's like, we're never going to do hogs because we can't have time, whatever, all this other stuff. I think sheep and goat families can do it because those animals are there the exact same time. And I think that of the four species, there's a lot more similarities in everything that you do in a barn with a sheep and goat than there are the other ones. In terms of exercise and stuff like that, sheep and goats' day-to-day management are more similar than
they can be in the same barn, same pens next to each other. No special.
Right.
You have to go way out of your way to be.
Right. And so I think you can do that two species and you can do it very, very well. And like I said, also at most of the shows, those animals are there the same time. So you're not taking off a whole nother week to go show a goat when you were just there for the sheep show. I think it is very, very difficult to do multiple species if one of them's a hog and one of them's cattle. I'm not saying you can't, but I think that difficulty level increases exponentially.
So even if you're talking about the time at the shows, I'm going to look at the time right now since the steers went in the cooler. And this is, Ryan, you can relate to this very well. So these steers are purchased last fall, go to some jackpot shows, a couple jackpot shows, maybe in the winter. And then once we chuck that hair out and they go in the cooler, between now and State Fair in August, how many times are those steers going out, Ryan?
None.
So we're putting all, let's say we showed the example, we went to one jackpot show and now they're in the cooler. They won't go to another show until State Fair. Think about the hours that compound leading up to one show. And if they're not dead at State Fair, they may go on to Exarban or somewhere else. But in general, you're right now, we are right now preparing for one show, and that is State Fair. And the amount of time that goes into it is unbelievable. So we're not worried, and even though it is a challenge to have multiple species at a state fair or any national show, the issues that we're running into right now, because even just having two calves, when Katie's doing 80% of the work and the time with them, guess how much time she's able to put into her goats and how much time there is in a day? It becomes difficult. And then you throw on that we're having her do chores with all of our coming up sale goats, she doesn't have time to leave. There's no question she wasn't going to Africa with Chase and I. She's going to stay home and take care of her projects, period. And that's how it is. But we can't hardly manage the two species, even the daily work at home, without her getting up pretty early and going to bed pretty late and doing nothing else, not running to town to do your nails, nothing. That is it. It is how it is. Throw a third species in there, and we've taken three species to State Fair, maybe even four once. Impossible. I surrender.
Well, and you know, you're talking about the work at home all around this one show, and yeah, that's it. And so, like I said, I think sheep and goats is somewhat manageable. I think when you're doing goats and steers, or people that want to do hogs and something else, or, you know, I think it gets exponentially more difficult. And, you know, this is a little off topic, but I do want to commend some people. So, like, granted, I think Illinois State Fair has some toxicity problems. I have said that.
Some.
But all of y'all's stuff is there at the same time. So if you wanted to be insane and show all four species, you know, they make it the easiest for you that they can. Perfect example of this is, and some people hate this, and I think it is such a great thing, the American Royal, all those market animals are showing on the same weekend, pretty much. And so, like I said, if you're doing more than one species, when shows like that make it easier for you, I think that is a great thing. And I wish more shows would consider this, go to this, not only to make it more convenient for exhibitors that do this, but also it's just fun to be able to see everybody. Because while you may only show hogs, you have cattle friends, you have goat friends, you have sheep friends, all this other stuff, get to be at a show all together, all this other stuff. But that is something that I think most shows do not take into consideration as much. I wish they would, because like I said, your state fair, they're all there at the same time. Our state fair, sheep and goats are the week before steers. Steers are kind of in the middle, in between hogs. It's all spread out. And then, like, if you're showing heifers, it's 2 weeks later. I mean, and so just using that as an example of how it is difficult to do multiple species. A lot of these shows, and the bigger ones, well, like Louisville, the hog shows the week before cattle show, sheep and goats are at the end. I mean, it's just tough to do.
It is. And I appreciate those shows. You used Kansas City as an example. I mean, that is amazing that all those kids can be there at the same time. Spectators can be there and see.
Right.
You've got in one arena, three rings going. If you bump over to the next building, you've got the hog show going on. It's incredible. Now, they do have to make accommodations. That the difficulty, and it's minor, and I'd rather have it this way, is kids trying to, when their animals are going in the ring at the same time, a couple different species. That yep. And they do accommodate. They'll wait a little while. And if they don't wait, they're pretty accommodating about substitute showmen. And I know some shows are really, really particular about that. But if you're going to have multiple shows going on of different species at the same time, you have to make some allowance for that. It just is what it is. You can't expect those families to bring more than one species and that child be the only child that can show it if they land on top of each other. That's too much work, too much money, too much time to not be able to get that animal in the ring. So it's good. I like this, Ryan. And when we think about how hard we talk about some of these kids working with multiple species and so forth and the work ethic they're developing, when I think about just that average high school student out there right now that probably doesn't have a part-time job, maybe he's playing a sport or two, it's crazy how much what I'd call free time they have on their hands to sit around or play video games or watch TV or be on their phone or whatever. Where the serious stock show kids, I'm not saying they're not on their phones plenty, more than I would like, but in general, they don't have time for a lot of other things. And the skills are developing in terms of time management and the understanding that if we get up early and bust our ass and go to bed a little bit later and work a little bit harder than everybody else, those things pay off. Maybe we prioritize this a little bit more than the next person and it pays off. All of those things relate to the real world. It's perfect.
There you go.
Anything else you would like to discuss on this one? I don't know where we're at on time.
No, I don't know either. But I mean, I think we've hit all the whatever. I think
for our listening audience, we skip current events for Ryan to do those while I'm gone. Obviously, they wouldn't be current if we're doing them right now. So we're a little off on our timing. But some final thoughts on this one, Ryan?
I want to emphasize and I want to like make sure that people get that I do not think that it is going to get any easier to do this. And I don't think it's going to become any less competitive. And I think more and more you're going to have to make decisions depending on the level that you want to compete at on making this the priority, making this the precedence. We're not going to do these other things, whatever. And, you know, we've talked about everything from homeschooling to God knows what all in this episode. Those decisions are going to have to happen more often. And I can't emphasize enough that this is not just a commitment from the exhibitor or the child. This is a commitment from everybody in that family, whether you have people that come in and help you or not, whatever. That level of we are going to do everything that we can single possibly can to make this as successful of an operation or a, you know, junior program or whatever you want to call it. I mean, because they are more than, I mean, mine was an operation. I'm just going to be honest. And I know lots of them that are. You have to have that commitment level from everybody. So the, you know, this title is how much is too much. And if you want to go at this at the very top level, I don't think you can ask that question. You know the answer. And it is literally everything. There is no too much. There isn't.
Very, very well stated. And I like that Ryan brings this up and maybe we didn't push it hard enough. It's not just that stock show kid. It is that entire family or group or whoever's working with them. And guess what? They're sacrificing doing other things to accommodate this project, period. At the highest levels. I'm not saying it just if you just go to your county fair once a year and you show, no. But we're talking about the elite and getting to that level. Everybody's going to have to make those sacrifices. Everybody's going to have to make this a priority. And if they're still doing other things, for example, my daughter and some other families that I know, you're going to have to go to extremes. I mean, we're flying kids in and out of different places and it's a crazy amount of expense and forethought to get it all to work out, but it's hard. It's hard, hard, hard. I believe homeschooling is making it a little bit easier for those that choose to make that a priority and jump in with both feet. So very, very good. Let me introduce you to the original coated cable halter that is changing the game for champions across the country. The Phantom Halter. From national champions to local county fairs, serious exhibitors trust Phantom Halters with their cattle, goats, and sheep. While imitators try to follow our lead, Phantom is and always will be the original coated cable halter. Made by the Hunker Show family in Ohio for show families just like yours. Visit phantomhalter.com today and see how the right halter can elevate your show career. It is time for question and answer. Mm-hmm. The first one, Ryan, please allow my question to be anonymous. I don't even have the name on here, so I can't screw it up. We still have 4 years at our county show. Our board has just voted to allow participants to show two of the same species. Previously, participants were allowed only one market animal. The rule also states that if chosen for grand, your other animal is immediately disqualified from winning reserve. I'm wondering what your thoughts are on this decision. Is this a common policy? Thanks for your input. Love the show.
I don't know. I mean, this wording is a little weird, automatically disqualified. I don't think they're disqualifying an animal per se. They're just saying you've already won the show. You can't be reserved too. That's a little strange. What I have seen more commonly, especially at the county fourth level, is if you win the show and you have other ones out there in the grand drive, they take your other ones out because you can only sell one animal. And so that I would not say is uncommon. But I've also seen shows or county fairs that you could be grand and reserve and you get to sell them both. I think every county is different, but I think that this is one of those things that a lot of county fairs only allow you to sell one per species. So yeah, I get that part.
And I have witnessed at county fairs, even if they can show two, that if you have grand, that family may choose to pull out of that lineup, so they're not getting reserve. But I don't know that it's common. I don't know that it's uncommon. I think depending on what part of the country you're in, I'm sure there's several counties that have rules similar to this, but there are several counties that would allow you to have grand and reserve and sell both animals. But yeah, I think there's a lot of variation there.
I do think it is very common, and I'm not going to say 90%, but more than half of the county fairs that I have ever judged or attended, you can only sell one animal per species. I think that is very common.
Does that mean that you're not allowed to be reserved then? Or could you be reserved and still only just sell the one animal?
Some of them you can. Some of them they can't. Like I said, I've been standing out there judging, and a kid won three classes in the sheep show, and he gets his name champion. Well, those other two class winners go out, and the second ones move up. I mean, I've seen it all, but yeah. But I just think the wording that this person uses is weird because I don't think they're disqualifying anybody. But
technically, if they can't be reserve,
that's a really bad word to use.
It's a bad word to use.
That's a bad word. And if the county fair uses that word, shame on them. That's a bad word to use. But I do think it is quite common at your county fair to only be able to sell one per species. I think that's whatever. So. Next.
The next one comes from Kathy. I'm a first-time show mom, and I cannot thank you enough for the time you both give back to the junior livestock industry. Very nice lady, isn't she?
Yeah, except you're going to Africa for 2 weeks, but it's fine.
We are trying to make our way through a few local jackpots and our county show this first year. Our goal is to advance onto larger jackpots and hopefully state fair next year. It is all very overwhelming, as we are just getting started. Any suggestions to smooth the path to become competitive at the next level?
The whole topic. You have to put more time. Yeah. I don't know. I go back to this, and this kind of was my final synopsis of whatever it, that quote or whatever. It takes a village. I believe that. It is everybody has to be on there, but also, this is a new stock show mom. I think she said first year, whatever, who you buy them from and the amount of
time they're going to put in after the sale to help you as you're learning and growing, I think those are probably the most important decisions you can make right now.
Maybe the single biggest decision at this point. Yeah,
for I think that is who you're purchasing those animals from, and what it, and it's as much or more than the quality of those animals, is how much direction, how much help, what are they going to do after you load that puppy up and take it to your barn? Because as a first year family, new family, that would be the most important thing you could do.
Unless you've had a lot of experience yourself recently.
And stayed involved and, you know, and now it's just your kid's time to shine, but that didn't sound like this question.
It is literally, without somebody to guide you, whoever that may be, it is going to be overwhelming, and you're not going to find the success you want, and you're probably going to not continue. So let's hope you have somebody there to guide you. It's impossible without it. Would that be an accurate statement?
Yeah. I really think, especially the synopsis she gave, I think that's the most important decision, is someone that is basically going to hold your hand for those first couple of years till you get the hang of it and all that. I will never forget, this one person came up to me in a major show when I was broken stairs, and they're like, look, we want to do this. We have the money to do this, all this other stuff, but we need somebody to hold our hand. I said, I can do that. That is not a problem. I will be involved in all, every decision, everything, whatever. Holding your hand is not
an extreme.
Right.
Maybe the dictatorship.
Exactly. I said, it will probably be way too much for you at the end of this, but that is not the problem here. And there are people that is a problem, that they just can't. They have other jobs. They have other things that they can't do that. And I think, and this is getting off topic on a question, but I truly believe that the people that have negative experiences in the stock show world, most of them come from a bad fit in this particular area right here. Either we got an animal from somebody that promised us they were going to do a lot more and didn't, or we didn't ever ask them and we thought they were, and that wasn't how they operate. That connection, that fit right there.
You hear it every day.
That's where the majority of the negativity, if there is it in stock shows, comes from, and it's that right there. And you, as the parent, as the customer, whatever, you have to ask those questions, because I do not think, by and large, people lie to you on this. I mean, like I said, I was always upfront. I know, I'm telling you that I knew when I went to different places before I'd even have to ask. Okay, this guy will show up at any show I ask him to clip and fit one for me. There's no way in hell I'm going to see this sucker unless it's Fort Worth. Like, I knew those things. So it's not that hard to figure out if you do your research or you ask.
So, Ryan, that, and we're off topic a little bit here, but I have evolved and grown and learned. I haven't changed as well as I should have, but like you, when they ask for my advice, I give it, and I'm very pretty much straightforward. Here's what I would do, similar to, I think, where you would be, that it's going to be A, B, C, and D, and we're going to do it in that order, exactly like that. Mm-hmm. My worry is with some of our clients that'll send me pictures, or we'll check them on video, or even do a
farm visit. They don't do it the way that you tell them.
Well, no, sometimes they don't do it, but even a family that's doing a phenomenal job and everything's looking good, I'm still going to want to do something even better. Let's okay. Mm-hmm. We're 90% there. Let's get as close as we can to 100%. So I will continue to make suggestions on what to do. And I'm afraid sometimes that drives people away. Does that make sense?
It may. And it probably, I mean, every family, every whatever is different, and they mesh and do different well with different personalities or whatever. I would much rather have someone like you and say, okay, we are 90% there, but we're going to try this and see if this happens, whatever. Because there are other people that are doing the same thing that you're going to have to compete against. And so if that drives somebody away, having to try something else to see if we could get it as close to 100% as possible, then this kind of wraps up in this topic that we had earlier. Maybe this isn't your sport.
and because, we never, in my mind, we never get that showman and that animal to 100%. We're going to get as close as we can, but we can always do something better or do more, if that makes sense.
Yep.
And that's, I've learned that's a philosophy that sometimes everybody doesn't share. And I've got to reel back a little.
Not me.
Situations. And yeah, no, I get it. Okay. I like this last question. I don't know. I think you'll be fine with it. Jordan, I have heard you guys talk about voting with your choice on what shows to attend. What do you think about running a jackpot show on the same weekend in a similar area to one that is poorly run and very politically biased? I think they're talking about starting a new show.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think the way that you have to go about this is if you have shown at this show that is poorly run and politically biased, then you know the people that are attending that show too, and you've got to go directly to them and say, hey, we're going to do this. We're going to do this differently. You're going to have a voice in picking the judges or, you know, whatever it is. You've got to cater to that group of people that is attending that show. Because when you have another show, when two shows compete like this on weekends, and I've seen it in Texas and other parts of the country, whatever, one show is going to win out and the other is not. And very few times are both shows going to have, you know, record numbers and everybody's going to be fine, all this other stuff. So one show's going to win out. So you better make sure that you're telling those people that you're trying to get there why they need to come to your show versus the other one.
And if you put on a good show and they're there, they're going to come back.
Right.
I think this is way easier to do on a jackpot level than any other.
Yep.
A state fair, because of the history and everything else, state fairs can be run horribly wrong. And people still go. There are a couple situations where other shows have kind of pushed the state fairs down to where they and probably like, belong, I know this depending is, how they run.
Talked about making this topic, but I mean, you know, look, we're talking about state fair. You and I had just recently talked about how people go to the state fair regardless, and that, you know, some of these youth expos that popped up, particularly during Rona, when state fairs folded, a few of them have stayed, but not many.
No, and it doesn't matter how poorly run the state fair may be; it's right. Just that history.
They're just gonna do it.
In tradition, yep. I'm gonna pick on Illinois. I mean, our facilities, the toxicity there, at some level, the lack of understanding by some of those in charge. I'm getting myself in a lot of trouble here, but it's a mess at times. And there are good people there that are trying to make it better and making a difference. But I tell you what, you better want to go and you better be ready for a little bit of pain, because it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Ryan, thank you. I appreciate you the extra time getting a couple episodes in before Chase and I head off on our adventure. Hopefully, shortly after this drops, we will return. And everything will be good, but we will be completely out of service for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Until next week, be safe.
Especially when the rhino eats you. Y'all come back now, you hear?